Welcome to The Watching Dead, the officially unofficial podcast for AMC's The Walking Dead. I'm Jim.
And I'm Aaron.
And tonight we're going to be talking about Season 2, Episode 6, titled Secrets. Before we do that, I want to pimp the awesome intro music that we just heard there. That's my brother's band called MyStereana.com, called MyStereana. You can find them at MyStereanaMusic.com. And the whole four-minute theme song is up on the site. We also have a link in our show notes to check that out.
Pretty rocking.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I like it.
You know what else is pretty rocking?
The news for this week.
I was going to say this week's episode.
Oh, yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, I actually like this one a lot better than I've liked
I'm actually concerned because our feedback was pretty damn mixed.
Really?
I'm afraid that we might hurt our credibility somewhat by saying we like the show because...
I have a very defensible position on this show, I think.
I think that...
There are very good reasons.
Well, here's the thing. I think that the show's gotten a little bit better and my expectations have lowered. And we finally gotten...
Converged.
Yeah. Like the sports guy Bill Simmons got this theory about hot like Hollywood females like... You know, his thing is Heather Locklear. When he was 18, no shot at Heather Locklear.
Sure.
Now that he's a sports guy and he's like 45 and she's like
75.
She's like 49, and her looks are kind of going down and his desirability is going up. At one point, they'll meet.
Gotcha.
And that's the point where he can, you know.
Where he needs to.
Or it's a good deal for both of them. And I think I've got to that point in The Walking Dead. My expectations have lowered, the show has risen.
Awesome. Well, that's good news, right?
I think.
We don't have any other news, so there's the news for the week.
Actually, a listener wrote us a pretty good amount of news, but the thing is, I don't know that I like doing just pure show news. Like, Robert Kirkman said this about this character.
Oh, or so Norman, Aaron doesn't like it. We're not going
to
do it.
Norman, well, I don't like it enough to, because when I was doing Breaking Good... I spent like an hour or two a day scraping news, coming up with that news post.
Easily. You were a news maniac.
It took a lot out of me, and I knew I wasn't going to have that much time to do that for The Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I feel like I don't want to half-ass it, and also our shows are pushing an hour and a half anyway.
That's true.
Without doing 15 minutes of show news. So my idea of show news is show news for our show, or like if the show's being extended or renewed or going to endanger being canceled or whatever, to talk about that. But
Well, there is one thing I did want to do up front, along the lines of pimping. Thanksgiving is coming up, and of course, after the turkey, that means shopping. And we had a big rush through October with Halloween. A bunch of people bought costumes online through our Amazon account, and we really appreciated that. It's kind of tapered way, way off this month. So we were going to do a little push to just say, hey, if you're going online and shopping on Black Friday, just
Or Digital Monday.
Digital Monday, yeah, there you go. Isn't that already passed?
No, Digital Monday is the... I thought that's the Monday after Black
Friday. Well, Amazon is doing all their sales.
Basically, every retailer's in full-on whore mode right now.
Exactly.
All the time. Christmas started 2 months ago, as far as they're concerned.
Yeah.
And
so anyway, we would really appreciate if you could just use amazon.baldmove.com when you're going to Amazon to do your online shopping. The shopping that you'd already do, you don't need to do extra shopping for us.
Hell no.
Just use our link.
Right.
And we really, really do appreciate that. Let's get into the recap now, shall we?
Yes.
All right, so the first scene in the show is basically feeding chickens to zombies. There's a little bit of
Lori,
a little bit of Carl.
Breaking of one of the Ten Commandments, not honoring...
Chicken legs?
No, not honoring thy father or thy mother. Carl shows a blatant disrespect for his mother.
Yeah, but he's got a good point. Everything is some food for something else. I mean, he's
like
very
that.
Accurate.
Think about... a lot of people had problems with Carl running up and around feeding chickens after having amateur abdominal surgery.
Carl's a machine. Carl doesn't... He didn't even need the surgery, really.
No, the thing is, I just think kids are like that. You know, I had my tonsils out when I was like 20, and I was laid up for 2 weeks. Like,
they took them out with a gunshot.
It wasn't the best way to do it.
Really, it wasn't,
A shotgun gargle. But no, I think that... But then my nephew, who is 5... had his tonsils and adenoids whipped out, and that evening he was jumping around and like playing, and like we had to say, "Sit down, you lunatic! You just had surgery."
Kids are pretty resilient.
Yes,
I'm constantly amazed that your kid he'll jump around and smash his knees on things, bang his head, and he just gets right back up.
I don't think my kid properly senses pain. It's his problem. I don't think that
I think
part
that's
is
all
calibrated.
Kids, though. I really do. So it's believable for me.
It didn't bother me because of that. I mean, we're talking, you don't know. I mean, how much time has elapsed now? I mean,
like 45 minutes, I think.
That's true. That's
it's
true.
Not been very long, yeah.
Because they're making a big deal, still searching for Sophia and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Well, they've been searching for her for at least 4 weeks now.
Right.
Anyway, did the chicken legs bother you?
Well,
the snapping of the legs.
I mean, I don't think you should do that in
normal circumstances.
In normal circumstances, but if you're doing something batshit crazy like feeding a herd of zombies, my thought is, could the zombies not catch? Did they have some hilarious experiments where they just threw a bushel of live chickens and the chickens were like, you know, okay, cool,
yeah, we'll like just hide back here behind the hay,
right? Barrel. They can't catch us. They can't bend down, and you know they're not that fast.
I don't know. They must have. They obviously, trial and error there.
I just want to know, like, so I'm not that afraid of zombies at this point. If you need to break both chickens' legs to make them slow enough that, you know, Rocky Balboa didn't need that. He's snatching up chickens left and right.
They'd never catch Rocky. Never. Plus, he'd box them. Anyway, okay, so the next scene is Maggie telling Glenn not to say anything about the barn full of walkers. And then he immediately fucks it up by being totally awkward around Dale and T-Dog.
Yeah.
As Glenn normally does. He messes it up.
I think they were a little over the top with that. I mean, I don't think anyone is this self-conscious and awkward, socially awkward penguin.
Yeah.
I really don't.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't have much to say about that scene. So I'm going to go ahead and
Glenn
move on.
Glenn is a horrible liar.
He is a terrible liar, and we see that time and time again.
Yes.
So next scene, Andrea gives Daryl a book and apologizes. And I thought that Daryl was way too casual about this still. He's basically just like, don't do it again.
Yeah. Yeah.
He should not have been okay with getting shot. Yeah. Nothing about what she did was right. Nothing.
And I know he doesn't know the full detail. I almost think that, like, if he could watch the episode somehow, that he would be like, motherfucker. But no, it's almost like they wanted this to be water under the bridge. I have not forgotten. Nor have I forgiven you, Andrea.
Yeah, he's wearing a yellow ribbon around his arm or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, I'm not going to be that easy to buy off. You're not going to give me some shitty book and mug your weird face at me and have me forgive you. It's going to be you're going to have to you need a whole like half season of competency before I'm going to forget the Daryl Dixon incident.
And he seemed like, I mean, he said as much. He said, hey, you were just protecting your group or protecting your clan, whatever.
But she wasn't.
She wasn't. She was being a dumbass.
But I don't think he knows that.
He must have been delirious at the time that it happened.
Could be.
Because he was pretty in pretty bad shape.
Because if he stopped to think about, wait, Rick had his python out and the other two guys had melee, you know, could have done me in that way.
Yeah. All right, moving on. Glenn tells Lori that she's too skinny, which we've all been thinking for season after season now.
Right.
Well, there have only been two seasons.
She should eat that jerky.
She should definitely. Although jerky's pretty lean. It's not going to put any meat on her bones, I don't think. She needs something fattening. She needs like a big donut or something.
To eat the kind of jerky you'd have to put meat on those bones. Oof. Like, I don't think you could eat more than a pound of jerky.
She'd never be able to say anything. She'd just be eating jerky all the time. So I don't have much to say about that scene either. Moving on, Rick and Shane and some random kid are planning the search. I don't know this kid's name. Do you?
I don't either. I think I'm pretty sure they mentioned it and we're horrible. And there's going to be feedback on this.
Okay. Please send feedback. Cause I want to know the kid's name, but right now he's just
Chris.
Random blonde kid, Chris. Okay. So Rick and Shane and Chris are planning the search. And of course, Glenn is being awkward as usual. Glenn is always awkward. And he basically tips everybody off to everything. But I like how in this scene, Rick does not fall for the same thing twice.
Right.
The ladies came up and said, hey, Herschel says it's okay if we do this. He's like, that's cool, but I'll ask Herschel myself.
He's really walking on eggs around Herschel at this point.
Rightly so.
Why do you think Herschel let the girls take weapons classes? That seems like a kind of reversal from his attitude last week.
Herschel is a man of much complexity. No, I don't know. Honestly, I mean, everyone in this show seems to have change of heart after change of heart. No one can make up their mind.
Right.
Everybody has no clue what to do. So,
how many guns do you think are on Herschel's farm if he kicked the survivors out and they took all their guns with them? I mean, Otis had a rifle. That's the only gun I've seen them have.
I think that's the only one they had, yeah.
Really?
It's got to be.
Did one of one of the girls say that Otis was the only one that knew how to shoot?
No, play guitar.
No. In this episode, I think when they're coming up and explaining they want to learn how to shoot, I thought one of them said Otis was the only one.
It might be, because he was out hunting, so presumably he's the guy who does that thing.
You'd think Chris would be out there with him if he knew how to hunt.
Yeah. So. Chris. Okay, anyway, let's move on. Next scene, Carl wants to basically learn how to shoot, and he already has a gun. He goes up to Shane and he says, "Hey, I want to learn how to shoot," and he shows him, "I've got a gun."
Right.
Shane doesn't like that.
Right.
Shane snatches it away and gives it to Lori, and there's
impressive,
big confrontation.
Impressive gun spotting by Shane. I thought cops only did that when they think you're carrying marijuana.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's like, what's that bulge in your pocket? Like the whole... Being able to spot a gun poking out of the coat, I didn't know that you could actually do that.
Yeah, so Shane does it.
So Lori's position entirely is, I don't want my kid walking around with a gun.
Yeah.
Does that, I mean, that's a very common sentiment for many women to express.
Mm-hmm.
But doesn't it seem out of place in a zombie apocalypse? Like, what's more likely? Your son is going to shoot himself with a gun. Like, I understand people right now are like, you're more likely to shoot yourself than you are to shoot an assailant. But if 95% of the population are zombies, doesn't that math change just a bit?
I think so. And Rick rightly points that out. He's like, hey, there are creatures running around. There are walkers everywhere. He needs to be protected. He also makes the point that Shane has taught people younger than Carl. And I think that's something we see even today. People out on farms in the country, they learn how to shoot young.
I was taught to shoot at 8.
Right? Yeah. So there is totally room for Carl at, what, 12? Is that how old he is?
Well, in the comics, he's like 7.
Oh, he's way older. He looks way older than 7. I don't know
what they're trying to... I thought he's like in the 10
Maybe
to 12
10.
Range. But yeah, he could definitely... And my thing is, like, what's the worst that can happen? He accidentally shoots himself in the foot or other extremity... That is something that you can recover from. He gets bit by a zombie, it's over.
Or he accidentally shoots someone else.
I guess. But
of course, they wouldn't
kick
him out of the group because we've seen that happen already, Andrea. It's not such a big deal.
Yeah, right.
Oh, don't worry. Just don't let it happen again.
Uh-huh.
Just slap on the wrist.
Shoot T-Dog in the shoulder. He's apparently Wolverine because he can heal from any injury.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Carl also has the hat on, I've noticed.
Oh,
that's
kind
of cool.
He's in the club.
Yeah, definitely. I wonder if he's like, I mean, he obviously looks up to his dad a lot, right? That's where he's getting all this. I want to step up and be an adult. I want to contribute to the party, whatever.
I will say that, like, because I'm going to talk about the comics when they're in our rearview mirror, so to speak. This scene with Rick and Lori and about Carl is almost word for word taken out of the comics.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they had that fight about the guns and, well, he needs to learn how to shoot and all that kind of stuff.
It's been a while. I haven't read him in a long time.
I just read it. I found an edition that you can get for your Kindle, and I've been reading them on my Kindle, and they're great. I mean, they're black and white, so I've been kind of refreshing. But anyway, so I guess they had to fit that in there.
Cool. All right, let's move on. Glenn tells Dale about the barn walkers. And, of course, Glenn is waffling and trying to, like, dramatize
he's
it.
Somehow...
Dale's just like, no, he's say it.
He's disrespecting and respecting Dale at the same time.
Yeah. You're old. I mean, you've been around a while.
You know things.
Yeah.
Old people know things.
That's true. Yeah, and Dale seems to know a lot about what's going on in this camp.
Yeah.
I mean, as much crap as we've given him about false repairing the RV and all that kind of stuff, he understands the problems in this camp.
Yeah, I was having a debate on someone with Reddit about that, because that's what someone pointed out about how he just cares for the group, and he's the only one that deals with everyone in an upfront manner. And I'm like, bullshit, if that's the truth, why did he do this? And they had a kind of a defense along the lines of, even when he's subverting the group, he's serving the group, which I didn't buy.
What?
But
no, yeah. No. Subverting and serving are two different
right,
definitions.
Right.
Sorry. Anyway, so... We definitely see here that this episode is total. It's named absolutely correctly. Mm. Everyone has secrets. This episode is all about lying, telling the truth. Everyone is kind of revealing information and trying to hide information, but I really like to see what Glenn was doing here, because he stepped up. He did step up this episode, as we'll see later. But next scene is the gun training. And
I'm so glad they call that Chris shooting that gun gang. That drove me fucking crazy. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And when T-Dog did it, it was even better.
Yes, thank you, T-Dog.
Don't give me that gangsta shit. Yeah. Love it.
Yeah, very cool. I did think it was funny that Andrea is doing basically exactly as well as Carl is. Like, they both make one shot, as far as I could see. Although she was shooting at the O and the no trespassing sign. Hit it 3 times, right dead center.
That's a pretty good shot. Like, we had this debate really last night. You've not shot a handgun. I've shot a lot of guns. And for a novice, that's not bad, especially since a lot of people spend the first couple clips getting over things like not blinking when the gun goes off, dealing with the recoil, learning how to sight properly, So I thought it was fairly impressive. I don't know if I would instantly give her a gun with twice as many rounds, because that just means she can kill twice as many people.
Many survivors,
right? I mean, my God, that rifle with that she was shooting Daryl with is like a bolt-action single shot. I mean, if that was semi-automatic, she'd have plugged the dude.
The whole crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would have been five dead survivors.
Massacre. At least she was protecting the group.
So, she's pretty good at shooting. We can see there. But we'll see later on more about that. Next scene, Dale confronts Herschel about the walkers in the barn.
It's the battle of the old guys that know things.
And I really, really like this scene.
Oh, yeah.
I do have to say I like how Dale handles the confrontations in this episode.
I'll go further and say that my respect for Dale shot through the roof in this episode.
Yeah?
I mean, you gotta say that he took on the two scariest people in the camp to me.
Mm-hmm.
Herschel, I mean, once you find out he's keeping a barn full of walkers, you're already like batshit meter starts going off. Yeah. And Shane, knowing what we know about Shane and what Dale's observed of Shane, both of those are very brave acts. And I thought he handled the Herschel situation perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, it's his farm. Unless you're going to take it by force, the best you can do is like, what can I do to help you make this safer? Like, if you're making a poor life decision, what can I do to make it safer for you?
Yeah. I really think he's definitely more concerned about his group of survivors at this point. Like, what can I do to make the barn safer for us?
Right.
Basically. Because they're the ones outside, face it. I mean, they're closest to the barn. If anybody's going to get eaten, it's them.
Right. The only thing I didn't like is that I thought that it made the Maggie scene redundant. She got offended with Glenn calling them walkers and said, I don't call them walkers, I call them Mom and Sean or whatever her name was. Yeah, it was Sean. That was pretty funny.
Oh, okay. It was Sean. The only thing that I would say to that is there's a definite difference in the way Herschel reacts to that and the way Maggie reacts.
Really?
Maggie changes her mind once the Glenn thing happens in the pharmacy later.
Well, that's the same. Yeah, like, well, okay, so if one of the zombies came at Herschel sideways, maybe he would have a different...
He hasn't had that experience.
Exactly.
Yeah. So possibly. And Rick's telling him, oh, you
Although
see
they know
this stuff
that
on
the news. Otis was torn apart by zombies.
They do. But they didn't see it.
Yeah.
I think Maggie had to see it twice, actually. She saw it once in the well, and she saw it once
that's
in the pharmacy.
That's true. The well kind of, like, made an opening in her... Mm-hmm. mind, and the attack wedged it open.
Yeah.
Drove a wedge through it.
So here's hoping Herschel gets attacked by zombies.
I also thought Herschel did a pretty good job of playing on Dale's fears. He's like, you and Rick seem like reasonable guys, but how sure are you of your people? Almost like Herschel sees, some of the crazy with like Daryl and Shane and Andrea and even his wife, Lori. He doesn't think that those people are exactly stable.
Yeah, but obviously he has a lot of respect for Rick. He says he's a man of conscience. And
I think he has respect for the way Dale handled his business, too.
Sure. The one thing that Dale should have done here is tell him about the CDC, I think. That might have helped a little bit. I mean, here's what we found out.
I had this in my notes. Why isn't anyone saying, look, we saw the brain scan. Your brain stops working and...
You die.
Right.
I
understand him being out of touch about... The fact that, like, these people are rotting. What in the hell could you... Even if you cured them of the disease, they'd basically die.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's where there's a little crazy involved. But if you could say that it's like, look, there's not even a functioning brain there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
All right. Let's move on. The next scene.
Maybe the only thing I can think of is when he put them in the barn, they probably did not look that bad.
They seem to look bad immediately, though.
Well, I don't know, because I've seen some zombies that looked like all you could tell is like, you know, like when Amy came back, I could see like, okay, yeah, you put her in intensive care and
her eyes are all fucked up.
They're roomy, but you know, they're a little cloudy, whatever,
mm-hmm.
but they basically look like people that have been wounded. So if he's seeing them in that condition and putting them in the barn and then they're deteriorating, he apparently doesn't see that.
But I don't know how he couldn't look at what's happening on the news, see the resemblance to the things in his barn, and know that they're going to try to tear people apart if they ever get loose.
When it comes to family, people can do all kinds of justification.
I guess.
And you want it to be true. I mean, your wife and your stepson are still moving around ambulant. You want, like, that, you know, obviously zombies are impossible. The one thing I would say that when I was watching season one again, mm-hmm. I was struck by the fact that it would be very hard to just start beating these things to death with baseball bats and shooting them in the head from close, because they're still recognizably people. And you have a very strong internal, like, conscious that says this is wrong, you shouldn't do. Even trained soldiers, I mean, mm-hmm. a lot of your training is overcoming that, hey, I shouldn't kill another person reflex.
I think there will be a lot of people who take it as an excuse to start beating and killing people, though.
I think you'd be surprised how people. Few.
I'm with you there. But some of them, yeah.
Yeah, so like I think maybe I've been a little harsh on people, that's a little bit harder. And if it's your own family. Like, I remember watching first and what's the guy's name? The guy that Rick shacked up with the son? Dom DeLuise, is that what you're going?
It might be Dominic.
No, it wasn't Dominic.
I thought it started with a D.
Morris?
No, not Morris.
Anyway, the guy that had the wife that was shambling out there.
Yeah.
I was like, God, why can't you make that shot?
Mm.
But when I watched it again, I'm like, boy, that would be tough. Especially since she wasn't that far gone.
Okay.
She's looking good in that nightgown.
All right. Sure.
Little sunken face. Who hasn't woken up next to that? She hasn't got her face on yet.
Moving on.
All right.
Lori is thanking Herschel for fixing Carl, but Herschel still wants him to leave, and Lori's a little shocked by that. She can't believe that after all of this and knowing what's going on out there that Herschel wants him to leave. I'm kind of with Lori here. Herschel, what are you doing to this group? I mean, he's sticking to his guns, but I don't know why. I mean, he sees the couple wild element, but why doesn't he? There's got to be some solution to that, you know?
I don't know. I said, like, there's a lot of on, and I'm not going to get in this debate, but except for to draw a comparison. Hmm. A lot of people brought up, like, pro-choice, pro-life in conjunction with this episode, and I'm going to touch on that here in a minute. But if you, whichever side you are on, the other side, it stands across a gulf that you can't fathom, you can't understand, you can't relate to, which is why it's such a fucking hot button topic.
Hmm. Yeah.
You know, one people are killing babies, the other people are making exercising a right over their own body.
Hmm.
How can you reconcile that? I mean, so like if you're saying like, look, this is my wife and stepson and I'm waiting for a cure, and the other guy's like, no, these are flesh eating zombies, we need to kill them.
Mm-hmm.
There is no debate to be had there. And I think Herschel would be like, no, well, you just need to go because this is an explosive situation.
Yeah. And it's interesting that sort of distinction that Herschel's making and that Rick's making. They're both on the opposite side of that. And to compare that to kind of the abortion theme that's going through this episode, you know, like the choice on that, it's just an interesting connection to make in this episode.
Right.
So there's a lot of that kind of thematic stuff going on. Next scene, Shane gives Andrea some one-on-one shooting lessons, and then Andrea storms off when things get a little heated.
And I thought that, again, I started to like Andrea a little bit, and then she snatched it right back, because that's, I think, a valid teaching technique.
Yeah.
If you're doing advanced firearms training, I've heard of people like lighting firecrackers behind a person and then screaming as they're going off, screaming, there's your target, there's your target. I mean,
have you heard of any instructors getting shot?
Because
that's what I would be worried about happening.
Maybe. I don't know. But I just think that, like, and we see later on in the episode, she did choke. Like, you have mm-hmm. to, if someone just mentioning your dead sister,
mm-hmm.
if saying there that log is the zombie that killed your dead sister doesn't make you focus up and shoot it and makes you just turn into bitch face mode, I have a problem with that.
Okay. All right. Well, nothing else.
Especially since her reaction is to storm off and walk down a road alone.
Yeah, that was pretty dumb.
God, pretty damn, dumb, this woman.
She does have a gun with her, but apparently she's unable to kill anything.
But there's a lot of discussion on Reddit right now about the Redditors being misogynist, and God knows there's a lot of misogynist Redditors, but I think that the show people are somewhat misogynist. The way they depict the women in the show making consistently bad, over-emotional, non-logical decisions.
Well, before you go too far into that thought, this episode was written by a woman. I don't know her name, but okay, and I'm not going to try to defend that, but I'm just going to say this episode was written by a woman. So, and there's a couple of weird things. That's one weird thing that makes me kind of step back and say, whoa, that was written by a woman. The pills, which we'll talk about later, is also another really weird thing.
Yeah.
To have written by a woman. But we'll get into that later, I'm sure.
The woman that wrote this episode is a gender traitor.
Yeah, yeah.
Ladies, okay. you need to rise up. Find her with pitchforks and torches.
Awesome. All right, next scene. Lori confronts Rick about staying on the farm. And man, is she a hypocrite. Man, because yeah. She's like, how long have you known we weren't going to be able to stay on the farm?
Right.
And I am so, I will get to this, but I am so fucking glad that Rick called her out
right.
at the end of this episode. How long have you known?
Yeah, he didn't know. I don't think he called her out strong enough, honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, she's like just putting the screws to him. And I also love that, you know, this happens a lot in relationships when there's something that needs to be fixed. The other person can't, and the other person's like, you're right, this needs to happen. The other person can't let up. And I thought Lori, that's a lot, the Lori just kept on, you know, it was like, this is so important to us. And Rick's like, I know, I'm going to fix this.
Well,
if we can't survive out there, I know, I'm going to fix, like, yeah. Are you trying to make him crazier, more schizo? I mean.
Once he says, I know, I'll deal with it.
Yeah.
Let him, give him a chance to deal with it.
Or
you know?
Maybe volunteer on how you can help him, or if there's a way that you can, you know, deal with. I think she did volunteer to talk to Herschel, didn't she?
About it.
And Rick kind of blew her
remember.
Off.
Can't remember.
But I don't, there's a, you
but
know, once
regardless of whether she did, she has shown time and time again that she can't make a decision. Like, she's constantly waffling on what to do, what do we do?
Yeah, it's almost like she's the devil that's on Rick's shoulder.
Yeah.
We should just let Carl die. We should just not have this baby.
Yeah, well, we talked about the dichotomy with Shane and Rick and, what's his name, Daryl.
Yeah.
We talked about that last episode.
Right.
So. I don't know. This scene just kind of annoyed me because I knew she was being a hypocrite with the pregnancy stuff.
Mm-hmm. And we all did as an audience.
Exactly.
But that's the theme. I think this whole theme was about the deception and coming clean and wiping the slates and figuring out secrets.
Definitely. Next scene is Shane chasing down Andrea to apologize. He drives a car down the road and finds her eaten by zombies, of course.
Yes.
No. Yeah. She's A-okay, strolling down the road.
I guess she did have a weapon.
She did. But she couldn't hit anything with it.
Speaking of weapons, we kind of glossed over this. Did you have a problem with the gun range? I know you actually said when we were watching it, you're like, you know, they're just popping off caps like they're going out like it's the 4th of July. Isn't this going to bring all kinds of zombies? And I said, they at least made mention of this in the last episode where it's like they're finding a place that's way off and remote.
Yeah.
So if zombies were attracted, they wouldn't be attracted to the farm. They'd be attracted, you know, and they made mention of the fact that it's a long walk. And
plus, they all have guns.
That's also a scene that's right out of the book, too.
Oh,
is
it?
The comic book where they're like, well, yes, this has a potential to attract zombies, but we need the gun training.
They didn't even mention it in the show.
No,
which
they
was
didn't.
A little weird.
They did make it clear that it's like a pretty far distance.
They did do that, yeah. I didn't really have too big of a problem.
I don't need much. I just need the writers to at least make a wave that say, hey, we've thought of this.
Yeah.
To make my suspension of disbelief okay. If they were just like some random scene, pop, 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 I'd be like, what the fuck? But since they at least acknowledged that and kind of showed that there is some spatial distance, I was okay.
Yeah.
Are you okay with the quantity of bullets that they were using at that range?
Well, you might want to conserve a little bit of ammunition, you know.
Well, where are they?
In case you need it,
because in the book they raided a gun store and got a shopping cart full of bullets.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, that's a lot of bullets.
But we don't see that in the show.
No.
So where do they get all the bullets? Rick just get them all from the police station, and that's what they've been using the entire time?
I don't know.
I mean, because he did have a big duffel bag full of guns,
but man, full of bullets too. Because they were
shooting
expending weapons at a pretty good clip,
and that to me says that they have exponentially more ammunition than they're using.
Yeah,
because
you wouldn't use 90% of your bullets in target practice.
No way.
Yeah,
you'd use 10%.
Yeah, or maybe half.
Yeah,
because you're not
stretching it.
You're not really going to shoot a lot during a zombie attack. I wouldn't think.
That's true. Yeah.
So it's better to make the ones you shoot count.
Yeah, a little bit of a problem with that, but I'll let it go.
Anyway.
Next scene, Dale tells Lori that he knows she's pregnant, and she tells him about Shane. Of course, Dale coming
you're
in being,
the lead here.
Being super Dale
Lori's
again.
Lori's hair smelt so bad that she threw up.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
I think that's an accurate depiction.
Well, her hair smelled
She's like, my God, what is that smell? She grabbed her hair. Oh, my God, that's me. And then started retching.
Yep. I don't know that it worked out that way, but...
And this girl got pregnant.
I do want to know how Lori is so sure that it's Rick's kid. Because doesn't the timing line up to where she could
didn't
be having Shane's
kid? Kind of mention that, and I think it's kind of wishful thinking. Like...
What do you mean they mentioned it? Because she says she,
they
like...
Tim mentioned it.
No. Lori says, like, flat out, it's Rick's. Like, she has no doubt, zero. And I don't know how she can be so sure about that.
Well, I just think that I read that as, like, she just wants it to be Rick's. I mean, she's surely thought of the timing.
But nobody questions it. Not even Rick questions it in this episode.
Well...
When she tells him.
Rick's trying to get over it. I mean, Rick is in full-blown bygones mode. Didn't... Yeah, so...
Yeah, but are you going to instantly get over the fact that your wife is having another man's child?
I think you have to.
Do you?
Because Rick is super rational about it, but I mean, I gotta say, it's hard to hate on a woman that commits infidelity when she thinks you're dead.
Absolutely.
Like, that's one of the plots of Homefront, which, you know, I've been reading a little bit about, is that, you know, spoiler alert, but this guy is taken as a prisoner of war and he's gone for years and years and years. Everyone thinks he's dead, comes home and his wife is shacked up with his best friend.
Yeah, and I mean, Rick
that
was
shit
gone,
happens.
Rick
I mean,
was it, gone for hours. So.
Just like in, you know, that movie about the desert island with Tom Hanks.
With Wilson. I don't remember the name of it.
I don't
Castaway.
Either. Castaway. Yeah, same scenario. I mean, that shit happens all the time. Mm-hmm. And it sucks if you're the survivor that comes back to it, but it's an entirely normal reaction. A lot of times, your widow ends up with the family friend, because he was the one that was there for her.
It's a little different when you're gone for like 12 years as opposed to being gone for a day and a half.
Add a
like
zombie
Rick
apocalypse
was.
To the equation. I don't... it's a little soon, little soon, but, you know, dangerous situations, that's, you know, they're sexy.
See, I'm on the Daryl boat here, though. Everybody's like asking, oh, is Daryl gay or asexual or what? And he's just more concerned about survival. Why wasn't Lori more concerned about survival than getting it in? You know?
Well, I mean, I think she needs a little bit of attention.
Well, she's probably looking for a protector for Carl at that point, too. So
right. And she likes some comfort.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Fine. Forgiven. next scene. Lori asks Glenn to go into town for her, and Maggie joins them. Or joins him. What do you think about Glenn agreeing to go into town for Lori?
What do you think about Glenn chopping wood that's not Maggie?
Chopping wood?
Never mind. What now? What
was
your question?
Chopping wood?
Yes, he was. They came up and he was randomly chopping wood.
Oh, okay. my question...
He is the group's bitch. I mean, Maggie called it right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Maggie points out that he has taken a backseat to everyone else, and he can be a leader. He needs to step up.
Right.
But we'll get to that. No, I'm just, Lori gives Glenn this list, which is apparently lotion, shampoo or conditioner, I can't remember, and birth control pills, or I'm sorry,
the morning after pills. Right.
What the fuck is Glenn doing going into town, risking a mission into town for those stupid non-essential items?
Well, I think they kind of mentioned this in the show, is that I think Lori didn't really know what it's like out there. She's thinking maybe this town is roughly as safe as Herschel's farm. And honestly, the first trip they went out there, they didn't even see a zombie.
That's true.
So I think she's thinking that this is like no big deal.
How can your Lori's focus is just on
and Lori's incredibly
things,
selfish.
Though.
Yes, she's incredibly selfish.
She asked for a magazine, for fuck's sake. A magazine. Yeah. Really?
Well, I mean, if you're going into town to get one thing,
might as well pick up some magazines.
Yeah.
Sure.
Sure.
Stay out longer, risk more zombie attacks.
Right.
Gotcha. No, I'm.
It's funny.
Am,
it's like when he comes back home with like Us Weekly. She's like, I want a Cosmo.
Yeah,
I
can you go back out to the store, honey?
I thought that's what was really bad.
Awesome. So I'm totally on Maggie's side when she calls her out later. But there's of course the zombie attack in the pharmacy. Do you want to talk about that a little bit? Glenn steps up.
Well, first of all, I saw that coming a mile away.
Yeah, you did. You called it. We were sitting there watching, and you're like, they're filming this a lot like there's going to be a zombie attack.
Which is, I like the show. It's like I've been wrong as often as I've been right on those, because I think
that's
they
true.
Do a very good job of like when Carl was climbing across that corpse to get the machetes. They filmed that just like it was going to be a zombie attack, and it wasn't.
Yep.
So like I, even though I saw it coming a mile away, I was still shocked when it actually happened. So I thought it was a pretty tense scene.
Definitely.
What did you think about the way Glenn dispatched the zombie when you found out that he had a machete on his hip the whole time?
And he grabbed that shelf.
Yeah.
I can kind of excuse that because he's not thinking there. He's just thinking, oh my God, something is attacking Maggie.
He's acting.
I need to dispatch it, and I'm just going to grab whatever I can here.
And also, maybe he was thinking, I don't want to get that close to a zombie. I want to have a little bit of range on this weapon.
Yeah. So, I didn't have a problem with that.
Right.
But then in the next scene, Shane and Andrea arrive at the housing development and begin to search. This is kind of a short scene, and they're basically just saying, hey, let's go leave the car here, which I thought, this is a terrible idea. They're going to leave the car there, walk to the far end, as far away from the car as they can get.
Spoiler alert, this is going to be on the survival review.
And start heading back searching. That's the best way to get blocked from your exit.
That's something you do if you're like a Mormon or Jehovah's Witness canvassing a neighborhood with pamphlets with your Bible tracts. That's not something you do in the goddamn zombie apocalypse.
Exactly. And Shane should know better. Shane is the survivor guy now. What is he doing?
I think the only reason they did that is so they have a kind of a false climax at the end where there was a little bit of tension about, because if they'd just done it house by house with a car and a driveway, there'd be no tension at all. It's like, okay, get in the car, drive away.
Yeah. All right. Well. So then Maggie goes to comfort Lori.
Confront, you mean?
Or confront, yeah, not comfort.
I don't think there was much comfort given on.
There was no comfort here. I think she rightly calls Lori out.
Yes.
Seriously, a lotion in a magazine. The proper response to that is go fuck yourself. Like, this list is not valid.
Yes.
Take this list and read it like it was a magazine.
Right. And the other thing is that she was kind of mad at Glenn for not, like, you know, Glenn should have said that.
Yeah.
Glenn said, birth control pills and lotion, man, go fuck yourself. But she was mad at him for not standing up and being a man. She's mad at Lori for risking her lives over what she found that was bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that, there was a couple of people giving us feedback didn't like that. But I actually thought if you take an account that she really is growing to have affection for Glenn.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was scary, you know, on a personal level about being afraid for herself and also be afraid for Glenn. That, like, you know, what if he'd been bitten in a well? What if he'd been bitten saving her? Could she live with that? You know, she's having feelings for this guy.
Yeah, and that goes right into the next scene where
I'm defending the show. I feel like I need to take a shower, honestly.
That goes right into the next scene where she gives him advice and says, hey, for a smart guy, you're really confused here. You clearly have leadership skills. You just need to exercise them.
Just call Glenn smart.
No, Maggie did.
She's a racist.
Oh, Jesus. We're not going into that.
All right.
Next scene. Or actually, did you have anything to say about their conversation, Maggie and Glenn?
No.
No? Okay. Then we'll move on to Shane and Andrea running into Treble in Suburbia. They get attacked by zombies. Or, well, they go into this house, first of all, and it looks like it's been all barricaded up. And the zombies busted through anyway.
Yeah, what the hell happened in that house? Because there was
I've got a theory.
There's people on fire.
I've got a theory.
Okay.
Here's what happened. The zombies busted in through the garage.
Mm-hmm.
They barricaded that garage door.
Right.
And they threw Molotovs in the garage.
Oh, so those were zombies that burnt to death.
Exactly.
Wouldn't they still be moving around, though? Or did the heat kill their brain?
I think the heat kills. I think fire also kills zombies. I don't know about in this universe, but in most of the zombie universes, they do.
Yeah, you'd think that you'd raise the brain temperature high enough, it would kill it like anything else.
Sure.
So, all right, I'll buy that. Because I was wondering, I'm like, what the? Because there was just weird shit in that house.
Yeah, there was. And the hole in the wall. My theory with that is they were fighting off the zombies in the garage. Uh-huh. One of them got through, busted through the wall, and ate the people inside.
A zombie, I don't buy a zombie busting through drywall.
Really?
Yeah. They would have to.
I could bust through drywall.
Yeah, you could, but you know that you can.
Sure.
Also, I kind of like to see you do it.
That'd be fun.
Without a wrecker ball, it's not all that easy.
Yeah, I'd have to use my head, I think.
I just think that a zombie, they don't know that they can do that.
That's
so, like,
point. Yeah.
A sturdy door and a sturdy drywall is going to hold off zombies.
Maybe they couldn't. They realized they couldn't fend off the zombies in the garage, and they busted out.
See, I was thinking drywall. Maybe that was, like, they someone tried to get out, and, like, oh, this is the only way.
Yeah. So
we're like CSI zombie.
Yeah, right. And the trajectory of the
of the drywall breakage.
I got to say, I wasn't super impressed with the way that they turned Andrea into a badass.
No.
I loved it.
Are you surprised?
I'll say I love Andrea as a badass.
I do,
she
too.
She looked super badass when she was pulling the trigger and killing those zombies.
Mm-hmm.
It just seemed to happen maybe too suddenly.
Like
maybe for not a big enough reason.
Like, one zombie headshot was all she needed to then.
Exactly.
And the other problem I had is, and this drives me crazy with every action movie. Here, I'm going to ruin 50% action movies for you, listeners.
Oh, no.
Pay attention to the people that blink when they shoot guns. Because if you're you are not a bad... Like, if you're Tom Cruise and you're emptying a clip and you're blinking every time to fire, you are not a badass.
Sure.
Andrea freaking blinks so many times when she's shooting that gun. Hmm. There's no fucking way she can be that accurate.
Yeah. All right. But, yeah, I had a problem with it.
Yeah.
But I like now, I'm hoping that she will remain a badass and not regress and do something stupid like shoot Daryl.
Because, again, touching on the comics, that was the thing. They did the whole range, and it's almost word for word that Andrea was the standout.
Yeah.
And she became a pretty good, proficient marksman from that point forward. I would like to see her be that. And, you know, obviously, I thought they were going for that in the first season when she was so kind of gun crazy. Mm-hmm. And then in season two, they just kind of reset her character.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like,
after her sister died and Dale did what he did.
Is she good with a gun or not?
Yeah.
So.
You know who's good with a gun?
Who?
Shane is good with a gun. Did you see him whip out that pistol and just destroy that log?
Headshot. Oh, plus, he was just headshotting zombies left and right.
Headshot machine. Yeah, he is good with a weapon.
I like the fact that they made him a pistol instructor, because my friend who's a cop is also a shooting instructor. And I was kind of like skeptical of that claim. Mm-hmm. But boy, God, I went shooting with him a couple weeks ago, and we were shooting pumpkins because, well, it's Halloween and they're cheap as hell. Yeah. He was headshotting that pumpkin from 50 yards away with his sidearm.
Whoa.
Like, I was impressed. And not, like, taking care, just kind of whipping it out and casually plunk, plunk, plunk. And I was, like, amazed. So, yes, I've seen it first. And, of course, it wasn't a stress situation. He wasn't being by zombies.
Sure.
But I could almost believe somebody that good exists in the world.
Yeah, yeah. And Shane has obviously had a lot of training as a police officer.
Mm-hmm.
They're shooting all the time. So, in the next scene, Lori apologizes to Glenn, I think it was, and Glenn tells her to come clean to Rick about the pregnancy.
And he also brought her the prenatal vitamins.
Yeah,
and said, you know, I've got you this, but I also got you this. Do you want? Would you like to share
no,
with the listeners?
No, we're not going there.
Your little joke that you made there.
No.
All right, we'll move on.
You might find it on YouTube later. next scene. On the way back to the farm, Andrea goes straight for Shane's junk.
Yeah,
just grab a handful of Shane.
Straight to the cock.
Whoo, man!
And someone made on Reddit a freeze frame of Shane's face. And I gotta say, if it's possible to rape a willing person, I think Shane did that.
No, Andrea did that.
No.
To Shane.
No, No. Shane reversed it on her. Yeah, like I said, I don't know if it's possible to do that, but that face was... It's like...
I'd have to see
He looked at her like you looked at Otis, man. It was like, it was something savage and unnatural and bestial.
Wow. It's
scary.
I think Andrea just loves his earlobes. That's what I think. The bigger the earlobes, you know the saying, the bigger the earlobes, the bigger the...
I think that threat from zombies equals aphrodisiac. That's what the show is showing time and time again.
That's zombie true. Maggie, attack. Andrea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. makes them hot.
Absolutely. I do like the relationship that Andrea and Shane are developing, because I think this is a way to kind of integrate Shane back into the group if the show chooses to go there. Now, I don't know. Shane's kind of still up in the air, and he's kind of a bad guy at the moment. But that relationship kind of takes the pressure off of Lori and Shane's thing that they had going.
Right.
Because it kind of pushes it into the background a little bit. Now, of course, there's still the rape. That's still there. No characters and no fans seem to acknowledge it. But it's still there. But I like that he's kind of moving all his attention away from Lori a little bit.
Do you really? I don't see that.
I see it developing. There's a nugget there that he and Andrea are going to connect.
I think this thing with Shane and Andrea, I don't know how Andrea views it, but until I see evidence otherwise, this is just Shane getting down with a girl.
No, I think Shane and Andrea are very much alike. Yeah, they're both now in this for survival. They don't have anybody else. Shane's out here all alone. Andrea's out there all alone now that Amy's gone.
Right.
I think they're going to connect. They've got that sort of connection there.
Are you going to make an official prediction?
Sure, why not? They're going to couple off and do what they do, grab a handfuls of each other all season. Next scene, Lori takes and then untakes the morning after pills.
Yeah, that's about all I can say about that.
That's all you're going to say about that?
Mm-mm, yep.
Yep.
She smelled her hair to
start. You're not going
to
mention anything about how morning after pills work or anything like that?
Oh, I guess this is a good point.
This is a good time to mention it, yeah.
So again, I don't want to get into pro-life or pro-choice, but I don't also want people to make informed, stupid decisions based on preconceived notions that this show is foolishly and irresponsibly, in my opinion, conceiving. The morning after pill does not work that way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So if you're a woman and you're comfortable with taking oral contraceptives, birth control pills, you should be ethically comfortable with taking the morning after pill because it uses the exact same mechanism. It's basically just a high dose of that that prevents an egg from being, or I'm not even going to talk about how it works. It works exactly the same way.
Yeah.
It's not the abortion pill. That's something that you would go to a clinic or to a physician for and to take under medical because it's not a,
it doesn't abort the pregnancy. It stops the pregnancy from happening.
Taking a bunch of morning after pills would be roughly as effective as taking a half bottle of Tylenol or a half bottle of cough syrup.
Jack Daniels.
Or jumping off out of a tree and inflicting physical harm. All these things are incredibly harmful for your body and have equal chances of aborting a fetus.
By the way, if you are going to do an abortion, jumping out of a tree is not a good way to do that.
I'm just saying
I would not
that
do it that way personally.
I don't care if you're pro-life or pro-choice, but if you avoid taking a morning after pill because you think that it's going to abort a baby, you're mistaken. It's wrong.
Also,
and this show was wrong for promoting that myth. They could have had her doing any kind of thing. You know, they could have had her do a lot of different ways without, you know, making it explicitly clear that she was taking the morning after pill or the plan B or whatever.
They also give the false impression that it works exactly the same a month or two into a pregnancy as it would immediately
after. That's my
whole
point.
I know.
Yeah. That's what I was saying. It's like taking a bunch of those would be roughly as effective as taking a half bottle of aspirin. If she took a regular dose of that, you know, after 72 hours of sexual contact, it
doesn't
has no effect.
Yep.
No effect whatsoever.
All right.
So again, now that I know that a female wrote this show, I'm like, wow,
yeah,
wow, because there's so many misconceptions about that.
Yeah,
you know, I've heard of you know, pharmacists not dispensing them to people because of religious beliefs. It's like if you will not dispense a morning after pill, but you'll dispense birth control, you're a fucking hypocrite.
Yeah,
and you should quit your job because you are not qualified to do it.
Strong words.
It needs to be said. I'm outraged.
All right. Now that both you and Lori have those out of your system, let's move on to the next scene. Shane and Andrea return, and Dale tells Shane to leave, basically. Dale confronts Shane.
Well, Shane and Andrea were not very... I mean,
oh, God.
I think people in the next county over knew they had sex.
What happened? Did he turn into Glenn all of a sudden?
What?
I mean, Shane... Did Shane turn into Glenn? Glenn totally led on to.
I mean, come on. Those they had afternoon delight written all over their faces.
Absolutely. Dale's like, what happened out there?
So let me ask you this. How much of that was Dale's genuine concern for the group and for Andrea in particular, shacking up with a homicidal maniac? How much of it was his jealousy? And how much of it was just, you know, the fears that Herschel kind of played on about how sure are you of the group?
I'm going to say it's mostly about Andrea at that point.
Really?
Because of...
You don't think it's jealousy? Because I've said for several episodes now that
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
It's about Andrea. It's about Shane and Andrea hooking up.
But he could in a non-sexual way, care about Andrea. Like, I don't want to see...
Oh, I got you.
Gotcha. Like, if I saw one of my girlfriends, not mm-hmm. like, you know, I'm having sex with girlfriends, but one of my girlfriends shacking up with a psycho...
Yeah, yeah.
I could take him away and be like, look, you need to piss off because I care about this person. You're bad news.
Yeah, I gotcha.
And then not be cock-blocking him.
For some reason, my brain goes to Dale and Andrea have a thing, like okay. a romantic sexual
sure,
thing,
sure.
Which may or may not be true. I don't know that we've actually seen any of that in the show, have we?
No, I think that
might have been hinted at.
I've gotten some hints, yeah. Okay. That Dale, I don't think Andrew feels that way towards him, but I think he feels that way towards Andrew.
Well, let's put it this way. Dale wasn't staying at the CDC for, what's her name?
Yeah.
Like, who was
Carol.
In like two scenes.
No, we already have a Carol.
She was in like two scenes in season one. I can't remember her name.
Right.
But he wasn't staying there for her. He was staying there for Andrea.
Shit, yeah.
So there's some sort of connection there. I think it was like 60% for like jealousy.
Okay.
Jealousy for Shane.
I also think so, and for this one reason, he was not very smart about the way he went about it. Like, contrast him confronting with the unstable Shane, with him confronting, mm-hmm. I mean...
With Herschel.
He basically, this, going at Shane the way he did is roughly as smart as blackmailing Batman.
That's a good point.
I mean, you've got, so, and I liked how Shane called it out. It's like, so, uh-huh. I killed Otis in cold blood and tried to kill my best friend, who I think is a brother, and what do you think I'm going to do to someone I don't even like?
Some old man.
That was like. Chilling.
That was, and this was a phenomenal scene.
That's the first time I've seen the guy, what's his name? The guy
John Bernthal.
That's the first time I've actually been impressed with the way he delivered something.
Really? See, I like him. I like his acting a lot.
I just think
I thought this was...
The accent and the lobes get in the way for me.
Well, okay. There are the lobes, but...
Right.
I don't know. I thought the scene was really good. And Shane makes a good point that the group would definitely not be better off without him right now. I don't think that... Him leaving is a good idea.
Really?
No, because he's the one thinking pragmatically, thinking seriously about
how
are we going to keep this group alive.
Honestly, I think he's a little too pragmatic, man. Like, and we gotta listen. I'm going to step on the listeners' toes because we got some good feedback on that. But I just think it's way too early in the zombie apocalypse to be sacrificing the Otises of the world.
Okay. The only reason I would want him to leave is because he is a dancing machine when he gets pissed. He dances around like they can't even keep a camera on him.
Yeah.
He sways in the wind so much.
He was weaving like a prize fighter.
Yeah, he was. I thought they were going to start boxing. I really did.
Yeah, I didn't notice that until I thought that brought a lot of like cage tiger intensity to the scene.
Absolutely. Yeah. So good stuff. Then the final scene, we see Rick confronting Lori after finding the pills. Wow, this is another good scene. These last two scenes were phenomenal, in my opinion.
And I like the fact that Lori and Rick have completely come clean
mm-hmm.
about the pregnancy, about, you know, they could have, I almost thought they were going to do it when she paused for a long time,
mm-hmm.
but she came clean about Shane and him. So do you think, were you happy with the way that went down?
I am. I think...
Were you happy with Rick's reaction to it?
I was, because every other time I've seen Rick deal with something, mm-hmm. It's kind of like a little bit reserved. And in this, he was shouting.
Yeah.
He was wildly gesturing. He was visibly angry.
And when she told him about Shane and confirmed that, mm-hmm. I thought he showed about 10 different emotions in the space of 10 seconds and then basically shoved it down in his gut and say...
Pulled the Shane.
And say, hey, I knew. It's been in the back of my mind this whole time. I thought that was... I really liked his performance.
Yeah, and that was him, I think, saying, I should have known. Like, it was there. I should have picked up on that.
And that you can't...
And I had a little bit, but I hadn't really formulated the thought.
Right.
So, pretty cool there.
I thought it was believable. A lot of people had a problem with him being that rational and... You know, but what is he going to do?
Yeah, what other option? He pulls out his gun and shoots her?
Yeah, like, it's, you know, divorces her.
Okay, yeah. If they can find a justice of a piece, of the peace anywhere,
yeah.
Go ahead.
I mean, he's judging her on what she's done since, and she hasn't been anything but faithful.
Uh-huh.
And he hasn't even known how, like, she's fended off a rape and all that mm-hmm. other stuff.
Yeah.
So
I was happy with it. And I was totally happy that he called her out on being a hypocrite, too.
Now,
kind of, indirectly. He was like, how long have you known?
Do you think that Shane and Rick will have some sort of conversation about this? Because that's the next shoe that I want to see drop. Now that Rick knows, is he going to have a conversation and make this good with Shane? Like, look, I know this happened, blah, blah, blah. I forgive you.
I think
and
that,
what will how will Shane take that?
I think that does need to happen, but I hope he waits until what I think is going to happen is until Shane and Andrea have a connection or a stronger bond, you know?
Hmm. Okay.
Because then I think it will go a lot better than if he tries to pull it out now.
Okay.
Because I... No. Andrea's the only one pulling anything out. no, I think it'll go a lot better once his concern is less with Lori and more with Andrea. So... Just hold off a little longer, Rick. It'll all work out. I did want to talk a little bit about kind of the reset that went on in this episode. Because other than Sophia being gone, who we don't care about.
And Carol doesn't either.
And Carol doesn't either.
She just like didn't give like any news. Nope. Oh, okay. Can I make you some sandwich? I mean, she just really is casual about it. Sophia at this point.
I think Carol is playing it like a woman in Carol's position would. Hmm. Because she's been a battered wife. She's constantly been told what to do, not getting involved in anything. I think she's just waiting for the people in charge to figure this out.
To go into flow. Yeah, I hinted on that a couple episodes that I think that's a good read for her character as it's being portrayed.
I do too, yeah. But I did want to talk about like the secrets are out, like you said. Everybody came clean with Rick. Everybody knows what's up with the barn and Herschel. And they've ended a lot of storylines that weren't going to go anywhere. Like, what's going to happen if Herschel says, sure, you can stay on this farm, no problem. And there aren't walkers in the barn. All we get is one walker every few months. Well, the show is bullshit. Nothing's going to happen.
Okay.
No one wants to watch that. So I'm glad to see that they're moving things along. They found this housing development, which I hope goes somewhere, you know?
Right.
So I'm glad they moved it along because it was getting pretty stale, in my opinion.
Sure.
And hopefully next episode, Sophia is done one way or another. Alive, dead, zombified. I don't care.
Right.
Come back with Merle. Come back parachuting out of a plane. I don't give a shit. Just get this done.
If the Sophia plotline goes into episode, you know, season 2.5,
uh-huh.
I will be officially pissed. Yep.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty shitty.
So overall, I really liked this episode.
Mm-hmm.
I thought there was great acting. They moved the story along quite well, and I'm pleased. I'm pleased.
Yeah, I'd say that this is an above average episode of television, and they need to keep it up.
Definitely. I'm going to do the kill of the week and the idiot survivor of the week. Kill of the week obviously goes to Glenn for saving the hottest girl on the farm, right?
Yeah, plus who would have thought that Glenn would ever get a kill of the week?
Yeah, yeah, he steps it up with a hatchet. I love
it. Not just a, like shelving units.
That's true, yeah.
You know, it's funny because when I used to work at Walmart as a teenager, I used to think... Because part of my job was breaking down those gondolas and cleaning them and all that stuff.
Sure.
And what you don't know is the ones at Walmart anywhere are pretty heavy metal. And on the edges, they got this like jigsaw thing that makes them fit into it. And I always thought, I was like, God damn, if you got caught in the head with one of these things, it would end you. It would end you. Yep. And that's the first thing I thought is like, oh yeah, my theory got played out.
Awesome.
You not fuck with the shelving unit. No.
Definitely, yeah. An idiot survivor of the week goes to Herschel for convincing his entire family that the monsters in the barn are still the family.
Right.
The idiot survivor of the week. Because there actually wasn't a whole lot of idiotic things in this episode, right?
Oh.
Really? Does the survival master have another take on
it? It's going to be, actually, like last episode, it's going to be tough to find some solid ones. Like I said, you know, Andrea walking alone down the road.
Mm. Starting at the end of the road and leaving the car.
Uh-huh. So there's a couple brain, but not like... the first episode where I had like I had to leave things out deliberately.
Or last episode with Andrea shooting Daryl.
That was a tough one because that was one big one, and I, you know, 75% of the articles about that. But other than that, I was just making jokes.
Yeah.
About Dale cock, you know, post hoc cock blocking. Glenn.
Yep.
If you like that, every Friday at noon, I post a survival review, and it's basically a tongue in cheek. Review of the survivor. I do make, I think, valid points of like when they do their stupid things.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I play it for laughs.
But it's all, yeah, it's really funny. Okay, why don't we do some listener feedback?
Okay.
Yeah, don't seem too enthusiastic.
Just first off, for our next project, I know a lot of people are saying we got even more. Everyone wants us to do Boardwalk Empire.
Everyone wants us to do a different show. Like,
no,
there are 40 shows
on
the list.
Yeah, there's like, I pie chart this out, there's like 80% of people want us to do Boardwalk Empire.
That's true. Yeah.
So I think, but my question is, shouldn't we wait till next season to start that? Because we'd be coming in on season three, basically, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we don't want to come in half season.
You know? No, it's like, I think that's a bad way to go. There's a lot of, some people made some good defenses of how you could do Louie and some other comedy shows. Someone mentioned Arrested Development. Is there an audience for an admittedly hilarious comedy show that was off the air 5 years ago? I mean,
there is a huge, yes, it's a huge cult following for Arrested Development, but I don't know that people are actively watching and listening to podcasts about it anymore.
Right, right.
They will when the new season starts.
It'd be roughly like doing a Firefly podcast, which
exactly.
would be cool.
Which
but
would
I don't
be very
know
cool.
that anyone would listen to it in any kind yeah. of appreciable numbers. Not that that's what it's all about, but it kind of is.
Sure. Although people still listen to Lost podcast in huge numbers.
That's true. When they
like
do
Jay
it
and Jack do one that yeah.
But that's their thing. I had some votes for Sons of Anarchy, who actually
cool show.
Mad Brew, who is going to be doing Game of Thrones, he's one of our friends that joined us from time to time on Blue Yonder. He is a huge Sons of Anarchy fan. So he actually talked about doing the podcast this season with his dad. Because they have a pretty kind of, and that's kind of like a Jay and Jack type of deal.
Sure, sure.
I think that would be hilarious, but he and I might do that next year. We got some votes for Dexter, which I think both you and I are off the Dexter train.
No, I really like Dexter, but it's too far gone. It's
I think
five
it's
seasons,
also
six seasons in
quality now. Wise has been a steady decline too.
Here's the thing. I don't really want to jump into shows that are too established. Breaking Bad and Mad Men are the exceptions because they're exceptional shows,
right?
Like they are the best of the best on television,
right?
So I want to cover those. But
the other one is Justified, which I talked to you last week. I'd like to do Justified.
I don't know anything about the show, but I'll definitely check it out.
Okay. And then some people said that for other back catalog, that like to do The Wire and Sopranos.
Oh.
I don't know about the Sopranos, but I am going to do a in-depth, detailed, kick-ass, definitive The Wire podcast one of these days, and I've got some like surprises. I'm going to try my damnedest to get celebrity inputs on here, get celebrity reviewers.
Get Jason Whitlock involved.
I'm already trying to work him real hard.
Are you?
Yeah.
Good.
I'm working that Indianapolis native angle pretty hard.
Yeah, for our listeners, they should shout
I'll
to him.
I'll even lie
and say,
I was a Jeff George fan all my life.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm excited about that. But let's get right into the feedback. Mike from Illinois, so our feedback was mixed, and Mike is one of the ones on the con side. He said The Walking Dead for him is wearing thin. It's like a high school play with great zombie effects. I can't believe the stupidity of these folks. Herschel said it best. I can't believe you dumb bastards survived this long. Shane's twitchy, eye-darting, guilty looks are killing me. I don't know how much longer I can hang on. Probably not as long as Sophia in the woods, but I'll try. Man, if you don't like the show, stop watching it.
Oh, how many times we've been told that. If you don't like the show, what the fuck are you doing a podcast about it for?
I'm going to go to iComments reviews and give you one star, Mike, and say if you don't like it, stop watching it. Mikey D from the Virginia, he says a better episode than the last couple as far as the characters acting in character, but there were still some things that bothered me. First, where did the seemingly unlimited cache of ammunition come from that they can afford to waste it with that shooting range?
Good call.
Good point. Second, and the show has established that noise attracts walkers, so why set up your shooting range with your back so close to a tree line? Ooh.
Yeah.
I thought he was going for the why would you set so close to the farm, but he zigged and he should have zagged. That's true.
That is true. They should have pointed at the opposite direction.
Maybe they got someone walking out, you know, looking out for walkers. Third and related, Shane and Andrew is shouting and shooting in the actual woods with no lookout and potential for emerging walkers. Thank you. I think I just found my fourth critique for the week.
Yeah.
It seems like the writers only want walkers to be attracted by gunfire when the writers want them to be. That's hacky writing. This is where I think my lowered expectations are coming in, that my suspension of disbelief is being recalibrated, because you're right. Those are all solid reasons. On the positive side, when Dale was giving his lecture to Shane, I kept thinking about the part in The Dark Knight when the lawyer tries to blackmail Bruce Wayne and responses, "Do you think the person that beats criminals a bloody pulp with his bare hands and you want to blackmail him?" Thank you. Yeah. I had the same thought.
You stole all of our listeners' comments this episode,
didn't you? Damn it.
Didn't you?
See, if we did this on Monday night, this kind of shit wouldn't happen.
Yeah, that's it. We got to beat him to the punch.
So then for Shane to respond with the same tack made me cheer a little bit, because that's a logical response. Hell yeah. It's a nice little bitch slap right back at Dale, who, though correcting his assertion, is way over his head in his accusation. That is all.
Mm-hmm.
Joe H. says
Shane could snap him like a twig.
Yeah. And he's also a pretty good shot. I have yet to see Dale shoot anybody. Even though he's the one that I've seen. Yeah, true. Joe H. says, Secrets was the best episode since the Zompede. Just that scene, not the whole episode, in the first episode of the season. Glenn is fast becoming my favorite character next to Daryl. I must point out that the pharmacy smackdown featuring Gerber, that's sort of the machete he's talking about.
Yep.
Assuming that you don't have a bludgeoning weapon on hand showed that he is as valuable as any adult in the group, as Maggie pointed out. And should not be relegated to walker bait anymore. It's the best episode, the best scene in the episode. I don't know if it's better than either of the Dale scenes or the Rick and Lori showdown, but it's pretty solid.
Yeah.
Had a zombie in it. It's got that going for it.
Yep.
Do you think it's ethically irresponsible to have sex? No, never. What the hell, Joe H?
Well, finish the sentence,
oh,
man.
Okay. Do you think it's ethically irresponsible to have sex, even just a quickie, when you're supposed to be searching for a lost child?
Well, yes, of course, yes.
I don't know because I don't know that I don't know. They do a good job in the comic where you get it in the minds of the survivors that some of them aren't sure about Rick. You know, the group chooses to follow Rick, but not everybody is on Team Rick, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Whereas
Shane
is
definitely not on Team Rick right now.
They make it seem like Shane is the only voice of dissent with Rick's game plan. And I think that, you know, a lot of these people don't really buy the fact that Sophia is out there. So the sense of urgency is pretty low.
I mean, name me another person who's not against Rick on this. Or I'm sorry, who is against Rick on this.
Well, but
other
I mean,
Shane.
But they're
nobody.
Not, what I'm saying is because you're not seeing these characters having their own private conversations.
Sure.
I mean, the voice of the sin has been T-Dog when he was, you know, fever mad talking about the redneck. So,
but then he took all that back.
He goes, he thinks he should wait until you're back at camp and officially off duty. As far as Sophia, whatever. 72 hours in a walker infested woodlands, exposure or possible injury is considered dead. After Z-Day, you don't search for bodies. It's the only thing I really agree with Shane about. I'm still pissed off about Otis, by the way. In my zombie apocalypse world, as long as a group member is not actually being eaten and is still moving, no matter how close the zombies are, you still try to keep them alive and not kneecap them so you can survive. I mean, he really had time to fight for the bag. There was time to drag his fat ass along.
Apparently this guy's on Team
Rick. I agree. I think that the show should have done a better job of making Shane's choice look, if we were going to have any kind of sympathy for Shane. And maybe that's what they didn't want us to. I think they should have made that more of a tough, like, boy, it's me or him, and in the moment. But the way they shot that made it seem like it was something Shane just did for the shit of it.
And I think they played that right, in my opinion, because Shane has done a lot of shitty things so far. I mean, rape being the least of them, you know?
Right.
Or being the most egregious, but Shane
least defensible, anyway.
Yeah, Shane does things like that every once in a while. So he's not totally a good guy, and I think they're trying to point that out.
Michael M. thought this was a pretty good episode. I liked it was off to a quick, witty start. It became clear to me that, I know, breaking chicken legs and throwing them to Walker is hilarious. It became clear to me that Shane is the father of Lori's baby when they framed the nice father-son shot of Carl and Rick. They did this exactly as Andrea made the comment to Shane, "You decided not to leave. Something changed your mind?" Oh, so she's saying, or he's saying, that this was kind of like a little bit of foreshadowing. But that would mean that Shane knows that she's Lori's pregnant?
I don't know that Shane knows that yet.
Maybe I'm misinterpreting what Michael's saying here. Dale's expertise is a smoother overshine. It seems like that's his true value to the group. Yeah, he does seem to be the diplomat.
Mm-hmm.
Rick and Lori seem solidly unmatched. Zombies or not, any baby born at any time faces a myriad of challenges in life. Did they have this talk when Carl was conceived? Sheesh.
I think they have a little bit more.
Yeah,
a challenge in this world.
Maggie relating to the walkers as people was strong. If Glenn had the hibachi sword on his belt, it's a Gerber. No. The whole time, why did he initially hunt around for something else to whack the zombie with? Yeah.
Heat of the moment.
I guess.
He just lost his head.
I guess. But overall, this is a good episode. I like the psychological interplay and the mastering of mind over fear. The courage of honest, blunt answers was also appealing. Slates were cleared. Have a great holiday. You too. Thanks, man.
Thanks.
I'm thankful for such thoughtful listeners. Shane in Atlanta, number one. I'm so glad that he is through the zombie apocalypse getting these missives out to us.
Yeah, yeah. I want to know, is he doing this from like a phone? Is he doing this? Is there a computer on the farm?
He's using Rick's CB to Morse code it out over the internet.
Yeah.
In binary.
To Morgan. Morgan, that's his name. There you go. Yeah.
So calm down, people.
Yeah, don't send any emails.
Delete the email out of your sent mail folder.
Or at least take the curse words out.
You guys should give some love to Bear McCreary and the music he does for The Walking Dead. I'm a big fan of what he did for BSG, which is Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, me too.
And his work on this show is effing fantastic. On his blog, he explains the music of episodes. He reveals the unusual instruments used in the compositions, the reasoning behind certain musical elements, as well as the reflex on cues and sequences that he thinks worked and did not work. Check his blog out, and he gives us a link. It's Bear, like the roar bear, McCreary, McCreary.com.
Yeah, I have to say that probably my favorite part of Battlestar Galactica was the music. It was so good, and it's just as good here in Walking Dead.
Yeah. He says, also, one of the things I think you guys did a good job with your Breaking Bad podcast was that you discussed the ideas and commentary of other critics like Sepinwall. I wish you'd do that more with The Walking Dead. Like, so-and-so had this idea. What did you think of that, Aaron? It enriches the discussion. Plus, we'd learn more about your favorite The Walking Dead commentary on the web. Your Breaking Bad podcast turned me on to Alan Sepinwall, and now I read him on the regular about a ton of different shows. Again, like I alluded to, is like I just haven't had the time to read the episodes. I hope to get back to that when things clear up a little bit, but this is a busy time for me at work, and I just haven't had the time to do that research. I do read Sepinwall every week. I do read a few others, but like I was reading 6 and 8 of those every Monday morning for the Breaking Bad. And number one, I haven't wanted to know as bad because, you know, the first two episodes, unlike the first episode of Breaking Bad, didn't like grab me by the balls and keep pulling me along. Mm-hmm. But I just also haven't had the time. So I would like to get back to that too. Maybe I'll try a little bit harder moving forward. He also isn't crazy about us weekly threatening to leave the show if it doesn't step up in whatever department.
Yeah.
And he thinks we should try to minimize that. So I was like, okay. I'm
fair enough.
I'm mostly trying to not say like and as much.
Yeah, whatever else comes out, fuck it, it's going out.
When I get that mastered, I will try to do more meta things. But yeah, I'll try to do that. It's just like I'm trying to not say the R word. So... Shane in Atlanta, he says,
be the R word? Can you say it on there?
I can't.
No, okay.
I have to go to their back catalog. He says, Shane in Atlanta, no shit, and I'm bald too. He also has an insight on Shane's baldness. He said, I once shaved my head after I found out my girlfriend was cheating on me. I was pissed and frustrated, and for some reason I took it out of my hair. Shaving your hair like that says two important things to people around you. One, leave me alone, don't fuck with me. And two, I'm going through a transformation, a process of redefining who I am as I cope with something important, in my case, a betrayal. Shane has been through a lot, and killing Otis definitely changed him. His bald head is a reflection of his transformation. I like that.
That's pretty insightful. I'm going to add a third to it, which is, it says, look at my lobes. Because, good Lord, full effect this week.
Right. In my case, I shaved my head last year because I was losing my hair, and I wanted to be okay with that. So I'm like, fuck it. I'm going to, is this the hand you're dealing me, Mother Nature? Well, fuck you.
Take this.
And it turns out, it's like, I looked okay with a bald head, so I started growing it back. Tom and V in West Virginia. I always want to say VW because of the Volkswagen thing.
Tom from a Volkswagen is where he's emailing us.
He says, This show is sponsored by Hyundai.
Sorry. Whoa.
If we're to start doing Breaking Good type predictions, someone's got to get killed by that ricin. I'm not giving up. Dale's going to get it before season's in. My money says Shane finds a way to dispose of him. Now, I got to say, if this is an official prediction, are we talking about the end of season like next week or end of season two proper in 2012?
We'll give him into season two proper.
I think he needs to clarify that next week.
Okay.
Professional podcast critic. God damn, what is wrong with me tonight?
That's a hard sentence to say.
Professional podcast critic that sells seashells by the seashore, Daniel WB. Does not like, he is like sending sentence fragments. His will to keep professionally podcast critiquing is ebbing. He says stagnation and even more characters to dislike. Maggie pulls a nutty on Lori. She clearly needs to get out more. Carl's 3-day return from a deathbed. Dale comes off like a complete tool, sticking his nose in everyone's business. Stick to fixing the RV, old man. Lori coughing up 14 to 20 morning after pills. No Daryl. The shiny new Hyundai. The random junk grab. Carol's pathetic disinterest in finding her daughter. No progress on the zombie barn plot. What's the like? Damn, man. When he puts it that way, I'm kind of like, fuck this show.
Nah, I got to be the voice of dissent, Daniel. I think they did a lot of movement on the plot. I think the only thing that's stagnating is Sophia now.
I will agree that I thought we would see some shit happen with the barn.
Sure.
And I'm surprised at how little shit happened with the barn.
That's got to be coming next week.
Yes.
It's got to be the cliffhanger.
Yes. Like, we have extensive. We basically, if you stay with us through the spoiler section, we are going to spoil the shit out of next week's episode. So unless you want to know everything that happens and all the important reveals, do not listen after the spoiler.
It's a dramatic reading of the script.
Yes, basically. Dan T says, first things first, Andrea looked somewhat bangable in the scene with Daryl. yes, because she was not showing much emotion. That's my theory.
But only somewhat.
It annoys the hell out of me that she feels a constant need to run with the big dogs. I bet that Hyundai smelled worse than a barn full of walkers after their sexcapade.
Oh, God.
I said on Facebook, it reminded me of the soup kitchen scene from The Other Guys. Have you seen that movie?
No.
Oh, yeah, it's good. Huh. Shane in every dramatic scene looks like he's watching a high school tennis match. Yeah, because he's doing
sure,
with the head. Sure. Out of all the survivors, Shane is the most appealing to the walkers because of the tasty-looking lobes, of course. Somebody needs to keep their hair clippers away from Carol. Something tells me that Lori is a pro when it comes to vomiting immediately after ingesting.
Oh, harsh, man.
I'm sure when shit was going down, the first thing she did was drive to the mall and clear out the entire boys' rack or rack of boys' jeans at Gap Kids for her and Carl to share.
Wow.
Quick fact, her real-life middle name is Wayne. I'm sure there's a story behind that, but I don't care. Glenn's English speaking has dramatically improved since his co-starring role with Harrison Ford. Oh, had a Short Round reference.
Wow.
Maggie was born and raised in Philadelphia, then went to England and got a case of the Madonna. Did you know that that's true? She's American. She just studied in England.
I thought she moved early.
I read a Wikipedia. They acted like, I don't know. I'm not going to defend it. I'm going Dan T's take here. How come we never see the professor without his bucket hat? And last but not least, where can and what aisle can I find some of me those quote-unquote abortion pills? Dan T laid down the law.
We saw Dale without his hat last week.
Did we?
Yeah, he was sitting around talking to people with no hat.
Oh, that's a source of his power.
I know.
He can't diplomat without that hat.
Yeah, he put it on to go talk to Herschel. And
it's like Johnny Cochran said, you cannot diplomat when you're not wearing that hat.
Boy.
Brian H. said, on. I thought this episode seemed contrived. Another hater, particularly Maggie's ridiculous explosion over her walker encounter and Andrew's transformation into Annie Oakley while making one point-blank zombie kill. Mm. They could have at least given us one episode to loathe her thoroughly after almost killing the best character on this show. Brian, I will agree with you. We need some closure on that.
Her shooting Daryl?
Yeah, we need her to go the fuck away for an episode and then come back, and I might have been ready to buy this transformation.
I don't think you're going to get it. I think that was the closure. Daryl just saying, hey, don't worry about it. Just don't do it again.
I actually like the scene between Herschel and the dumbass Dale where he confronts him about the barn filled with quote-unquote sick people, especially when Herschel compared schizophrenics and The Walking Dead, and the writers need to stop beating the Lori doesn't walk her children. Wait, the Lori doesn't... Lori doesn't.
Well, they're out of leashes, clearly.
Oh, Lori doesn't want... Yeah, she would be that parent that has her kids on leashes. Lori doesn't want her children, future children, to live in this world plot into my head. I couldn't agree with you more there. Sorry about the plain comment. I'm basically the Jason Whitlock of Breaking Bad. I take the show way too personally. Oh, he had the mother of all pedant moments when I was complaining about the show crashing 2 737s. He's like, it was one 737. The other was a charter plane.
Oh, God. Okay. Yeah. All right.
So that's the little context on that.
Well, I didn't know that.
Arjun V says, looks like you were wrong about the Dale taking it to talking to Shane. That was the only time I've ever seen an AMC preview be completely honest and straightforward about a dramatic revelation like that.
I thought he was talking to Carl, personally.
Oh, really?
I know the kind of man you are.
I kind of thought it could have been Glenn. Anything but a straight up being what it was about. I was a slow clap for them.
I thought he was talking to a walker.
Dark Passenger from our website says, I enjoyed this episode. Could have been better, but not really complaining. Andrea is not forgiven. Hells no. Well, seems like they aren't afraid of giving a gun to her after all. I guess that she is going to be the comic book Andrea.
Oh, spoiler nah, city. Really. She's just a good shot. Yep.
Carl's up and running this fast. Kind of surprised me. As for Sophia or whatever her name is, I couldn't care less, really.
Yep.
I was also shouting at the scene, heck yeah, when Glenn told Lori about her being too skinny. I guess everybody was thinking the same thing. Oh, and yeah. Andrea, I don't get these folks. I mean, I tune in and watch the show, but every time a new episode comes in, it's as everyone's changed. Kind of schizo, split personality stuff going on. I'm saying that, yes, there is some of that, but it does seem like the writers are circling and triangulating on the characters, and they're finally getting their motivations at least somewhat correct. Which is what drove me crazy. You know, it's like, you know, is Andrea was kind of like this uber strong chick, and then she was this wimp, and then now she's back. I don't know why and where and how, but I think they're getting there.
Well, a lot of the problem with my connection with these characters has to do with the fact that I don't know how much time has passed at this point.
Right.
Since they got to the farm. Like, they don't show anything.
Well, last episode
necessarily contiguous, you know?
Shane said that there was 72 hours...
Mm-hmm.
And in this episode, I got to think that there can't have been like if a week had elapsed, surely they'd given up looking for Andrea or Sophia.
But we don't know that. I mean,
I know.
There's no indication about how long it's been.
Not a lot of good time cues.
So I don't know if they've had time, if Gloria's had time to think about this child thing or if she's just reacting in the moment or what.
Honestly, that's true of the comics, too. I found that I was constantly, other than the weather changing, I was really nebulous about how long they'd been here. And every once in a while, a character would say, wow, you've made a lot of progress in the last 3 weeks.
Oh, like, yeah.
So maybe they're keeping real with that. Ron from Sin City. Secrets is the best episode this season. I like that the story and its characters seem to have time to consider the situation, the gravity of the circumstance, and the episode. To be sure, Lori has been mulling this notion over regarding Carl, but it seemed as though the others were not aware that they were in a seriously terrible situation. I was listening to Sippin' podcast today, and his partner Dan said that this show is doing a better job spinning its wheels this season than last, but still it's kind of annoying. And I think the difference between like a Breaking Bad-style slow burn and what The Walking Dead's doing is Breaking Bad opened with a bang.
Yeah.
And then set things in motion that we watched happen over 5 episodes. And, like, the tension was unbearable. The difference here, we don't know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
We're just,
they're heading to Fort whatever.
Yeah, we're kind of confused about what they're doing. Like, they're looking for this girl, but they don't, you know, as people have pointed out in the feedback, they don't seem to be that serious about it. So, I wish, if episode 1 and 2 were really good and had set a clear mission for the rest of the season, that we would not be as antsy about these episodes as we've been.
I also think that they kind of negated the Fort Benning or Fort whatever thing that they started, because their whole goal at the beginning of the season was to get to Fort whatever it's called.
Benning.
And then they got sidetracked with Sophia, and now that doesn't seem to be their goal at all. Their goal is to stay on this farm.
Right. And now that they've seen that you can have a relatively safe life on a farm, why would you want to go to Fort Benning where the military and a bunch of people are? I mean, is that, you think that they would maybe think that that's not the best idea? Maybe we just need to find an isolated piece of farmland.
Yeah, I don't know.
Which you would think you'd be able to find in rural Georgia. Anyway, back to Ron. He says, the plot has lurched forward finally, too. I like that there's some real tension developing on multiple fronts. I appreciate how Dale dealt with the secrets and employed different tactics for each person.
However, is a bit puzzled by his rather direct confrontation with Shane. I suppose Dale is a bit love-struck and thus didn't think it through, but still, knowing what he does about Shane and what he suspects, I think a little more caution would be in order. I didn't think he snapped.
Yeah.
Seeing them being like that was just too much for him.
Yeah, and his sex detector went off and
yep,
he went in Dale mode.
Dale's a strong character. I hope Shane does not pull an Otis on him. I like that.
Kneecap him in the barn.
Yeah, going to Otis him. Yeah. He's the moral compass for the group's concern, and that is needed in the show. I know Rick is also a moral compass, but his focus is not the same as Dale's, and it makes Dale see things more clearly. I've been a little irritated by Herschel and his desire to see the group go. It does not seem to make sense to send this group.
Can we go back real quick to Dale?
No.
Because I like that Dale is kind of similar to Rick. He's got the same sort of motivations as Rick, but he doesn't have the kid that he's necessarily worried about.
He doesn't have that blind spot.
Exactly. So he's a little more, I think, a little more rational than Rick at some at times.
I've been a little irritated by Herschel and his desire to see the group go. Dale, just to go back to that, Dale's weakness, I think, is he's a people pleaser.
He is, yeah.
And that will, my prediction is that's going to bite him in the ass. I've, maybe literally, I've been a little irritated by Herschel's desire to see the group go. It doesn't seem to make sense. It doesn't add up, but I understand more clearly now. Herschel operates under the notion that God will cure the problem, hence the Barn of Dead, and all will be good. That'd be a great movie title. Barn of the Dead. Romero, get on it.
It's his next one, actually.
This idea is expressed best with Maggie's frustration that Glenn refers to the dead as walkers. As I watch, I could understand why Herschel's family maintain that perspective, given that they have been relatively, or so it seemed, removed from the carnage that Rick's group has faced. Faith versus reality. I like that. I also did not like that Shane and Andrea's careless venture into the subdivision, yelling and moving deeper into the bowels of the house seems so damn stupid.
Yeah.
So we kind of beat that paragraph into death. I'm going to skip that.
All right.
On the Bravo Company, who wrote a scathing review of this episode, and I'm only going to read excerpts because it was long and it was extremely, like, our first episode turned to 11.
Wow. Okay.
He says, answer me this. Why the hell does Glenn take the time to grab a shelf to defend Maggie when he has a goddamn machete on his belt? And who else knew that he's going to get laid after that? Official prediction, killing a zombie gets you some poon. Speaking of that, Andrew sure wasn't complaining about Shane's services. Maybe Maggie picked the wrong leader. Whoa. Yeah. There wasn't no talk of, you know, it's 11 minutes. I'm not going to get back with Andrea.
That's true. Yeah, she seemed pretty pleased.
Am I the only one who sees like five brand new trucks and SUVs in the background when Shane and Andrew are driving in the neighborhood? Hey, Andrea, on the way back, you take the shitmobile and I grab one of those expeditions. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Shane even looks like right at a Z71 Chevy quad cab with his binoculars. When they get back to, Carol's like, anything? I'm starting to think Carol doesn't even remember her daughter's name by now. I know half of our listeners don't.
Yeah.
Every time Dale opens his eyes really wide, it makes me think he might be shitting his pants. And stupid Lori leaves the pill packages out for Rick to find when she was trying to keep this big pregnancy secret. My only defense is I think some people want to be found out. And it's like a psychological problem where they do these things to make sure that they're caught because they want to be. And I think that's a case of she did that because she wanted Rick to know that, deep down subconsciously.
Okay, there's that. But there's also she panicked. She just swallowed pills that were going to kill her kid, and she wasn't sure she wanted to do that.
But it made it seem like the way this thing was edited that happened like an hour or two. Like she could have gone back from throwing up and, oh, God, buried the pills or thrown them down the well.
You mean between the time she threw up and the time Rick
confronted
talked
her.
To her. Yeah.
Right. Because okay, he confronted maybe. Her with the pills, like, that. What's this, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Doris Day, the Earth Stood Still, said, I thought the episode was pretty good. Seemed like they packed perhaps a little too much into it. That's because the show can't pace its goddamn self. It has to. I felt like they were jumping around a bit too much. However, this is the first episode where Dale didn't come off like an idiot in one way or another. Agreed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm still of the opinion that episodes with the least amount of zombies are the best. It seems that way.
We had a few zombies in this, quite a few actually.
Well,
the whole scene in the neighborhood, there were tons of zombies. Right. Glenn killed a zombie. I think there were plenty of zombies.
It was kind of ho hum because those zombies were played as not a threat. Like even Shane is like, look, I'm waiting for you to kill the zombie.
Yeah.
Are you going to kill the zombie?
That's true. There was no imminent danger there.
No.
But there were more zombies in this than there were last episode, right?
Well, there was just more than one. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so. There's two, I guess. I thought the well episode.
Oh, I guess the barn. the barn full of zombies.
Yeah. There's a lot of zombies in this episode. What the hell, Doris?
All right, just call out our listeners. Fine.
Are we ready to initiate the outro?
Sure,
the
let's
outro,
do it.
As I got it in my notes now. If you want to see where what we're doing throughout the week, catch up with our podcast, look at my survival review. If Jim gets off the can and writes some original content one of these days, you can find that at baldmove.com. Please send us feedback at watchingdead@baldmove.com. You can also join our Facebook page at facebook.com/baldmove or tweet at us at Twitter at baldmove. Yep. We try to integrate as much of the feedback as we can. I think the only one we don't really do is Twitter that much.
But I pretty much respond to everybody who messages us.
So you
there.
Get a, like, if you don't get a response, like, wow, it's probably because we're reading it on the cast. We try to respond to the stuff that we don't respond to on the cast. Please support us by leaving 5-star reviews on iTunes and subscribing. You don't have to. You can leave us a 1-star review, but that's not exactly supporting us now, is it?
Sure. I do want to thank everybody who's left reviews the last couple of weeks.
We've gotten a surge. Yeah, we're up to like almost 90 now.
Yeah, and it's pushing our – we got into the new and noteworthy, not in the like featured section.
Right.
But you guys helped us get there. We really appreciate that. So thank you.
And I would say that our traffic now is pacing ahead of where we were with Breaking Good. So
yeah, it's
we
right
appreciate
there.
All that support.
If this were a full season.
And you can directly support us again with the amazon.baldmove.com link. And that takes to Amazon. Anything you buy through that link, we get a teeny tiny portion of it. Mm-hmm. Again, it costs you nothing. It's not like they add that percentage to. Amazon just shares a little bit of their cut with us, and it helps us pay for the not inconsiderable bandwidth bill that we shell out every month. So, again, everyone that does that, appreciate it as well. Ready for spoilers?
Sure. I'm ready. Right. I did kind of want to pimp, because we talked about like the pacing of stuff in the first season, season or two here. I did want to pimp one more time that Walking Dead Apocalypse fan edit.
FanEdit.org.
Yeah, go to FanEdit.org and check that out, because that is really, really a good re-edit of season one.
And an indictment of the pacing, because it's only 3 hours and 15 minutes long, and there was like 6 hours of footage. So.
Yeah, so it cleans up a lot of pacing problems.
I can't wait
series.
To see what he does with this season, honestly.
Yeah.
Because I think it was not as much good stuff at the core, but you know, with some creative editing, it could have fixed a lot of the problems.
Yeah, so check that out if you have time. Let's go into
and
the
again,
spoiler section.
Do
right?
not stay with us through this music unless you want to know what happens next episode. Because I've got the whole thing.
We're dropping spoiler bombs, so staying back. With that said, until next time, I'm Jim.
And I'm Aaron. See you next week.
Let's go ahead and play the preview for next week.
Next week on the mid-season finale of AMC's The Walking Dead.
So, barn's full of walkers.
Who's gonna be, man? Which way does this thing go?
We don't know if we're gonna find her, Daryl. Can't lose you, too.
Rick, you ain't built for this world. We need to stay. We can survive together.
I'm telling you, we can.
Enough! It ain't like it was before!
A special look at next week's mid-season finale of The Walking Dead will be revealed during Hell on Wheels, next on AMC.
Whoa.
It looks like the shit is going to hit the fan of the barn.
There's some shit going down. And not only the barn with Sophia. Did you see what Carol said there?
Oh, about the Daryl?
Yeah. We don't even know if we're going to find her. Well, I don't want to lose you, too. I think that's her saying, Daryl, stop looking. Stop going out there. You already got hurt once.
Well,
you could have died.
I think it was her basically saying that he shouldn't go out alone because he's been recuperating and everyone said no more solo expeditions. Maybe she's trying to Shanghai him at the beginning of the next episode. I don't know.
Well, he's better off alone, as he said.
So anyway, the spoilers we're about to talk about are from a blog post and some sleuthing on Reddit. And it's not sourced at all, but I've seen a little bit of the spoilers last week and it seems like it's really coalescing into almost a complete understanding of the episode, but And also they leaked the spoilers for episode 6, and they were pretty much spot on. So that kind of really leads credence to episode 7.
Okay.
So Glenn's going to tell at the beginning of the episode the rest of the group that the walkers are in the barn, which is going to have everybody lose their shit. yep. Rick and Herschel argue, and Herschel demands the group leaves within a week, which that was the bonus scene that we saw during the Hell on Wheels.
Really good scene. That. Yeah.
So then, Rick uses the excuse that, my wife is pregnant on Herschel, and he also does it to Shane to calm him down, but apparently Shane becomes convinced that Delory's baby is his, so that's not going to help us say anything here.
Great.
Then Dale decides it'd be a good idea to take all of Shane's guns and try to hide him in the swamp, but Shane tracks him down and stops him. And then, Dale basically says, I know that you killed Otis.
Wait, go back? Herschel is going to hide all the guns?
No, Dale.
Dale.
Yeah, he's going to try to dumbass. Hide all of the Shane's guns.
Oh, God.
Shane
can beat you to death, you know.
So then this is weird. Herschel has Rick help him and Jimmy. It wasn't Chris, apparently. It's Jimmy.
Oh, okay, good.
Fish walkers out of a nearby pit of quicksand and lead them into the barn with snare poles.
Oh, Rick, you dumbass.
And he says the group can stay on the farm if they agree to help and not kill the walkers. They arrive at the farm the same time that Shane emerges from the swamp and with a cache of guns, and Shane loses his shit, breaks the lock on the barn.
Good.
And everyone kills the walkers one by one.
Good.
As they come out, and the final zombie that emerges is this one.
Oh, shit.
Which is so... We are looking at a picture of zombie Sophia.
Dude, that's awesome.
I like that.
That's a very good twist.
Almost makes it work out because there's so much...
Almost.
And that's where the episode ends.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be so much fallout because, like, one of the first questions, if I'm the group, is how the fuck long have you known that this little girl, that you've had this little girl in this barn? When are we going to tell us?
Yes.
We deserved no, asshole.
They didn't tell us. Not only did they not tell them about the walkers in the barn, but that they've been risking their lives to go look for this girl that isn't alive.
Yes.
And they know it.
So there's still some secrets that haven't been come out. The other thing is, because... This also makes me feel like I really was right on about when Maggie shot that significant look at Herschel when they're talking about the walkers. Like, I actually think Maggie knew about this and wanted to tell. So a lot of people said that this was not true. It wasn't. But I
will see because, I mean,
it's definitely the same shirt. I think it's the same actors. I don't think that was Photoshopped at all. And this just
if it is Photoshopped, it's a really good job. We did see a whole bunch of Photoshop jobs of people from the cast zombified,
but this looks a little more legit. And also it's interesting is that, like, I guess no one shoots Sophia. Rick is the one that finally steps up and shoots her with a six shooter, which is a nice little throwback to episode 1 of season 1.
Yeah, with the
and man, zombie kids. Wow. Creepy. Jesus.
I gotta say, if this comes true and this happens next episode, I'm sold on the show again.
That's what I'm saying. And I also think that this almost makes it worth the whole Sophia thing.
Man, they could have trimmed it down a little bit. But that's a really good way to bring her back.
Yeah.
Way better than having her come back with Merle. Way better than having her just be alive out in the woods.
Right. Oh, that would have been infuriating.
Yeah, total bullshit. But this is good.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, then that makes my spoiler stuff seem like
also
bullshit.
Look at her picture, because I can see you thinking that this person could be cured. Like, if this is the condition that the average walker comes on to the farm, you know, and apparently I'm guessing she died of exposure probably.
Unless we
see her being bitten. I mean, I think she probably just died of being left out.
Well, Robert Kirkman did say that they were going to address how you become a zombie, right? Like, they were going to say, oh, does blood get in your eyes or whatever.
Oh, that's right, because we're in a spoiler section. We can die. In the comic, anyone that dies is reanimated. It doesn't matter if you just die of natural causes.
So this, if they looked at her and could tell, hey, nothing bit her, nothing like that, she just died and came back. They knew she was alive before.
That would be a good way to reconcile those two.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay, well, I've got a bullshit spoiler now compared to that.
Well, yeah.
The housing development. We could talk a little bit about that.
Okay, because I
in the comic book,
I don't think they're going to do that. I think that they did a very compressed version of the Wiltshire Farms storyline from the comic right there when they went to the
residential community. But isn't that where they found
Tyrese?
What's his name? Tyrese. I don't know his name.
Well,
didn't they find him in that housing development and then stayed there?
They
divvied out houses for everybody.
They found him to stop before that.
Okay.
But yeah, they were starting to do that. And
they started handing out houses and clearing the whole development. They had a big gate in the front. Where
The second day, they found that the whole place was overrun and they had to flee.
They were thinking that. So they may have done a compressed version.
I think that was a nod to it. I want to see him go to Fort Benning at this point.
Sure, I do too. But I could see like Herschel still holding strong and saying, no, get the fuck off my farm. Now you just killed everybody.
Oh, by the way, a spoiler, one of our friends, our personal friends, spent time in Georgia and actually talked to the people that scout the locations for The Walking Dead. And they're saying, and I wasn't sure, I think it's for season 3 because they were at season 2 in a can. They were scouting prison locations.
Yeah.
So,
which we all know from reading the comic.
If your comic, that's a huge storyline, is them taking possession of a prison, and I'm actually super excited about that.
Me too. If they don't go to the prison, I'm going to be severely disappointed.
Oh, they will. I don't think we're going to see it. I think now that the climax of season 2 is going to be going to Fort Benning and finding out that that's been
everyone's
overrun
dead,
and
yep.
everyone's dead. Although you'd think you could defend the military base pretty well too.
Yeah,
or maybe they've come across a prison on the way to there. I don't know.
Well, the prison is where I felt things really heated up in the comic.
Yeah.
The prison, we introduced a few new people, and they were total wild cards.
Plus, they could stop surviving and kind of like have some more character development beyond just, you know.
Yeah. So I think Herschel's going to kick them off this farm after they kill all of his quote-unquote family.
Well, I mean, there's a whole lot of shit that we can that'll be interesting to see what happens. We'll have probably a post show, right? Like a half season wrap up, and we'll talk about the fallout and what we got to look forward to the next week,
definitely
the next season, next mini season, whatever.
Well, that's all I have for spoilers. What about you?
I think that's enough.
I think that'll do.
Yeah,
our weak spoiler sections in the past have come.
Also, the people that I want to shout out, Jesse B. and Lars O., they were the ones that forwarded us. I'd seen some of that on Reddit, but they actually found the original blog article for that. So
awesome. Thanks, guys.
I'm kind of at I don't know that I want to link this because if you click on this, it gives up the goat. I mean, you know, these are heavy weaponized spoilers. I don't think I want to post them to Facebook or on a page because it just people can't avoid clicking it.
No, they'll just have to go to Reddit and search or just listen to us talk about it here.
Right. So.
All right. Well, that's it for this week's show. Thank you very much for joining us all the way through the spoiler section, and we will see you next week.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.